Welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, founder of LSATdemon.com and the Thinking LSAT podcast. With me, as usual, is Nathan Fox.
Howdy.
Let's dive in. All right, so this is from someone. I don't know who it's from, but you want to read this? Email?
Yeah, it was an extremely long email that we cut down to just one paragraph. Sorry. You said a bunch of nice things about the demon, but we're going to just get straight down to your question. It says, I have one question, which I also brought up in an LSAT Demon admissions hour with Carl. The most intimidating part of law school applications to me is the letters of recommendation. I graduated from college 9 years ago, and I don't have strong connections with my former professors. Also, I can't really ask my employer, as I have been a very visible member of a contentious union organizing drive for the better part of a year. And so my relationship with management is tenuous. I've gotten advice to reach out to my union organization's leadership or to reach out to the alumni I know of the law schools where I want to apply, or to reach out to my professors anyway. What do you think? Should I reach out to people I don't know very well? And if so, how do I work with them to get a good letter if they say yes? How about reaching out to people who might not remember me? What are some good strategies for getting high quality letters in that situation? I'm looking for some outside the box ideas on how to approach this. And then Anonymous says also, thanks for helping me crack 170 and improve my game. And what they mean to say is they sucked at the logic games before they started doing LSAT Demon. But anyway, what do you think about this? Can I say one thing first?
Yes.
These letters, this should be nobody's most intimidating part of their law school applications.
Well, it's funny you say that first, because that's what I was going to say first. I was like, okay, first, stop stressing about the least important part of your application.
Yeah. Why is this the least important part of your application? Or can we talk a little bit about what we think the purpose of these letters actually is? Why are these letters less important?
Well, they're puff pieces, right? From people you know. It's more, in my mind, I guess I don't know that I've fully thought this through, but it seems to me like law schools are asking you to find someone who can endorse you, who you've worked for. And if you can't do that, that's a really bad sign. But if you can, that doesn't really say a whole lot, because everyone should be able to find somebody who loves them enough to write a good personal or a good letter of recommendation for them. And I don't mean like a family member, just someone you work for.
So they are puff pieces. They all say nice things. They all say essentially the same thing. I don't think that they are read super carefully. And part of the reason why is because they have so much better information about you. I think that they care a lot more. I mean, the data clearly indicates they care a lot more about your LSAT score and your undergraduate GPA. There's nothing you can do about your undergraduate GPA, Anonymous, because that was 9 years ago. Many people, there's not much they can do, if anything, about their undergraduate GPA. So that is what it is. Your LSAT score, though, it sounds like you busted all the way into the 170s, and that's great. Maybe you're still studying and maybe you could do a bit better. So, you know, good luck with that. And I would say, yeah, try to scrape out every point you possibly can, because that's the most important part of your law school application. They also have your personal statement, which is you in your own voice advocating for yourself. And they learn a lot about your ability to write and your ability to advocate and who you are and what you do through your personal statement. So they're very interested in that.
Yeah.
They have your resume.
Yeah.
They have your transcripts. And they have these letters.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to overthink it. And I don't think you need to overcomplicate it. It's in LSAT terms, it's what we call a necessary but not sufficient condition for your admission.
Yeah.
And I think one way to think about it is that these are boxes that need to be ticked. You need to find people who are going to say nice things about you. And it's not that hard, and there's a million different ways you can do it.
Cool.
So, I mean, that said, sounds like they've got lots of different possibilities here.
I would definitely go for the union organization's leadership if you've worked under them. Because it sounds like you've been proactive, so I imagine they would have good things to say, and it sounds like they would know you. I don't like the idea of reaching out to alumni. They don't know you, so you shouldn't reach out to them. Well, you know them, but you don't work for them. You need someone who you
they need to know you
to write this.
And they need to, you know, they're going to say nice things about you. Preferably someone who managed and you
really,
or gave you grades.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe the union organization's leadership isn't literally your boss. But if you were such a visible member of such a contentious union organizing drive for the better part of a year, if it's so contentious and it's such a big deal that you now can't actually talk to the management of your own actual company where you work, then yeah, I would sure hope that those union people know you well enough to write you this letter.
Yeah. Now, about the professors. So here's my order of preference. Go to the union organization leadership, get a letter from one of those people there. I would not reach out to the alumni of the schools that you're planning to apply to. I don't think that qualifies them as someone who is in a position to write about your work ethic or your ability. Maybe if I'm wrong, then fine. But I doubt
random
it.
Alumni, and then, just because they're your friend or something, I don't see the connection. Like they, I think that,
well, I don't care that that person went to that school. I just don't think that matters.
Those people might be able to reach out though on the back end for you. Like by all means, tell those people that you're applying to their alma mater and ask them if there are any phone calls they can make or emails they can send. But it doesn't seem appropriate to me that they would write a letter of recommendation for you when they were never your boss or coworker even, or professor. But what about these old professors?
Yeah. So my preference is to have someone from your work who's current. You may need, well, you almost certainly need at least two letters of recommendation. And so if you can't get those from someone more recent, then maybe you go to one of these professors. But in terms of which professor you go to, you would definitely go to a professor who gave you an A. I know sometimes people are tempted to go to professors who they liked or connected with, but if that professor gave you an A minus or a B or whatever, it doesn't matter that they liked you. Academically, that's how they think of you.
Yeah.
And these professors are going, I've heard that as soon as you ask for this letter, if they're willing to do it, they're going to look up your file, see what grade they gave you, and then try to decide how to write a letter for you based on what they thought of you 9 years ago.
Yeah, and that letter can have powerful facts in it that will drive, I mean, to the extent that these letters even matter anyway. That professor, you know, if you send them, and by the way, you could probably save them a step by telling them that you got an A in their class 9 years ago. Yeah. I think they would probably appreciate that. Tell them, you know, I got an A in your upper level, whatever, in 2012. And I know it's been a long time, but I'm applying to law school now. And I part of the application requires these letters of recommendation. And I wonder if you'd do me a solid. And if they in that letter, they might write like the so-and-so got an A that semester. Only two people out of 100 got an A in that class. And what this means is performance on the, you know, here's how I grade by these metrics. This student was one of only two people to get an A. And that, like those facts, that data is compelling, even though it was 9 years old. And so,
yeah. So what you're saying is, if you have an A in a class that you know was hard,
yep,
that's going to be a better A than, of course, an A in which you know everyone else got an A too, right? That the professor's not going to be able to say as much about that.
I mean, it would be better if it was more recent. It would be better if you worked with them more closely, like maybe you did research with them or whatever. That would all be better. Mm-hmm. But don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. This is a box that needs to be ticked. And it sounds like I think you can get at least one from the union people. And maybe even two from the union people. You might be able to get one from like whoever supervises you in the union organization. Yeah. And then possibly another one from a colleague in the union organization. I could see that being possibly okay. Someone else who works with you at your job and helped you on this union drive. I could see that being, you know, being a reasonable thing to put in to your application. But these old professors, it's part of what they do. Professors are like, they know that that's the game. They know that grad school is a thing, and they write tons of these letters, and they probably have a formula for doing it. So yeah, I like this idea. Pick a hard class where you got an A and reach out.
Cool. Thanks for writing in. If you all have questions for LSAT Demon Daily, email us at daily@lsatdemon.com. Thanks for listening.